Missions Sunday. I'm moving right into it. I'm excited today. I'm not even the missions pastor, and I'm excited today. Pastor Daniel and Pastor Crystal Lynn, that is their jobs here at WPA. Just raise your arms. I'm make everybody look at you right now. We are excited about what's happening this morning because it is months and months and months in the works. It, going all the way back to when Pastor Foyo was missions pastor, and we had been planning it that long. It's intentional. And we've done it today because the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, the PAOC, who we are affiliated with, we're a Pentecostal church in Canada, so we affiliate ourselves with them. They are having what they have called 100 points of light. And I know you just looked at the banner and you're like, Pastor Kim, you messed up. No, we're calling it 1,000 points of light because we have a bigger dream. They've called it 100 points of light because this year marks the PAOC's 100th year of founding. The PAOC has been around for 100 years. That's really exciting. And within that, International Missions has been around equally as long. So this year, PAOC International Missions plans to send 100 new global workers onto the field. And that's a big goal, and that's an exciting goal. We have a bigger goal. And I'm going to tell you about it at the end of service, but I'm going to keep pointing at you to keep your interest piqued. 1,000 points of light. Here at WPA, we believe that both our global impact and our local impact are equally important. We have the privilege to partner with 5 global partners, and they'll be up on the screen for you in a moment. 5 people around the globe who work with incredible organizations. They are the Buzakeviches, the Fazers, who both work in Arusha, Tanzania, and they work for a ministry called Pamoja Ministries. We're able to partner with Ed and Natasha Dixon, who are in Ukraine, and they work for an incredible, incredible ministry called Loads of Love. We also partner with Jeff and Renata Walton in Lilongwe, Malawi, and they are at Village of Hope, and they are doing some incredible things there. We're going to hear from them here in this building on June 3rd. And Ian and Tiffany Rowley, who are in Phnom Penh, I'm just going to move on. They're in Cambodia, and we are sending, every time, they are in Cambodia, and we're sending a team there, a short-term missions team we're sending this summer. We're also sending a team to Quebec this summer, a youth team, and they are doing some incredible things. Those are our global partners. 5 couples, 5 families that we have intentionally taken time to choose and to pray over and to say we believe in these ministries and we believe in the impact that they are making and we want to partner with them physically and financially and through prayer. And then locally, we have very specifically chosen 4 organizations here in KW that we adore and we admire. And we deeply believe that the impact that they're making in our community is an impact that we want to be making. And so instead of trying to recreate the wheel, we've just partnered with people who are doing an excellent work in what they're already doing. And so that's the Pregnancy Center and Welcome Home and Ray of Hope and House of Friendship. And if you're on it this morning, you would have noticed that they all have booths in our foyer. Did you notice? Some of you? Some of you are on it. It's excellent. And I'm going to tell you why they have booths in the foyer, but I'm not going to do that yet. I'm going to tell you that later. And keep leaving things to the end to keep you interested. So this morning we're going to do something really different, and I think you're going to like it. Oh, well, I hope you're going to like it. I'm going to like it. We're bringing you 3 guest speakers, not just 1, 3. But actually, they couldn't make it because they're from all over the globe. We're bringing you Jeremy Fazer from Africa, and Ian and Tiffany Rowley from Cambodia, and John Neudfeld, who's actually here in the audience today, from House of Friendship. And they are going to speak to you this morning via video because they have an important message for you. See, this church, our vision is that we would be spiritually and missionally and theologically vital in our lives and in our community and around the world. And we've talked about that, church. We've talked about what that looks like. But we want to talk about what that looks like on a greater scale through the eyes of people who are doing it. And they're doing it well. And so this morning, I'm going to show you 2 videos back to back, and then I will come back up for the third, before the third. You're first going to hear from the Rowleys, and then you're going to hear from Jeremy. And then I'll come back up and give you a little bit of instruction before we go into John's video. So if you would, Please take your attention to the screen.
So for our point today, we're reading from the scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3. We're going to read from the Message. It says, everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God, the best invitation we ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you, your ticket to participation in the life of God after you turn your back on a world corrupted by lust. So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you, oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off of the books.
In order to have spiritual vitality, we need to pray frequently and fervently. The health of your personal walk with God and your ministry are directly related to your prayer life. Unselfish praying releases fresh power that will energize and revolutionize your life and ministry. So we need to pray daily, consistently, and honestly. Go to God not only with petitions for others and for guidance for the challenges that you have and that you face, but to confess your sin and to thank him for your answered prayers and just to praise him for who he is. In our lives as missionaries in Cambodia and in your lives as people who love and serve God, it's easy for us to become really complacent in this area. The truth is that I cannot walk without the Holy Spirit, without knowing his voice. And knowing his voice clearly in my life means that I need to talk to him. It's a constant reminder for me in Cambodia here as I disciple people. I am constantly teaching them that they need to talk to God. And God again and again and again answers their prayers, and they are amazed at this living and breathing God who wants to talk to them. This challenges me because I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in the church, and talking with God sometimes can become very formulaic before our meals, before we go to bed, any of that. But I'm constantly brought back to the fact that he's a living and breathing God, and he wants to talk with me. And I cannot walk without him. I cannot work without him. And if I want to have that good character, that spiritual understanding, that alert discipleship, that passionate patience, that reverent wonder and warm friendliness and generous love, I need to get it from the source. And that source is the Holy Spirit. So pray frequently and fervently. It is the key to spiritual vitality.
Fasting is a spiritual discipline that calls us to slow down, to seek God, to confess our sins, to deny ourselves, and allow God to work through our weaknesses. It's an act of obedience that turns our focus back to Christ. As a missionary and global worker, sometimes people in Canada and even here in Cambodia put us on a spiritual cloud, a cloud that's higher than their cloud. They think that our going is more spiritual than their giving and praying, and this is just not true. God requires us to be obedient, and fasting is a part of that obedience. You know, I'm a mom of two beautiful children, Emmeline and Sophia. I have a full-time ministry here that involves 550 other kids and their families. I volunteer at the girls' school. I volunteer at church on Sundays. And we're busy. You guys can relate. We are busy people. But the qualities that are found in 2 Peter, those are qualities that I want for my life. And how do we draw closer to the Holy Spirit to walk in all of that that 2 Peter talks about? It is through prayer and fasting. And so even though fasting is difficult, I will do it. I want it. I need it in my life. My family needs me to be walking in spiritual vitality in the Holy Spirit. My job needs it. My community needs me to be that spiritual person. So I will fast and I will pray. This year for Lent, I was crazy and gave up coffee for like 48 days. And that process was very difficult. Yet, I drew closer to the Lord in that time. And that's what it's all about, drawing closer to God through prayer and fasting.
Spiritual vitality can only come from having a relationship with the Holy Spirit and walking closely with the Holy Spirit. And the only way to get that relationship is from spending time with Him, praying fervently with Him, fasting to draw us closer in relationship with Him. That is our principles for spiritual vitality.
Hi, WPA. It's great to be with you this morning. So I want to read a couple of verses here. Matthew 28:19, called the Great Commission. Go, make disciples of all nations. That was spoken by Jesus to us. That's clearly something that He intends for us to do as part of being like Him. James 2:17, faith, unless it's accompanied by action, is dead. In other words, it's all very good to say that we understand about God. It's all very good to say that we're in a relationship with God. But if our actions don't show that, there's nothing to it. It's all just words. Matthew 7:17, good trees bear good fruit. Okay, we'll come back to that one in a minute. Matthew 3:8, go bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Clearly, it's not enough to just have a change of heart or a change of mind. It has to be born out in real life. Or Colossians 9:10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart. And we'll come back to that again in a moment as well. So what does it mean to be missionally vital? Well, I'm going to say nothing special. After all, if a grapevine produces grapes, it's nothing special. If an apple tree produces apples, no big deal. It's supposed to happen every year in season. Similarly, if our faith in God is informed by who God is, and if we're in right relationship with Him, then the fact that we act like Him should be absolutely no big deal. Does that make sense? Well, I mean, this is what that verse was saying. Good trees bear good fruit. It's saying that there's absolutely nothing weird about acting according to the nature of the creature. It's what we should expect. There's nothing more normal than that. Our heads and our hearts are the tools that we use to decide what's worthy of worship. And all of creation is tools of worship. And we decide every day. We're constantly making decisions about what is it that's worth our time, what's worth our attention, what is it that we're going to use our mouths to talk about, what is it that we're going to praise. In Swahili, the word sifa means praise, but it also means attributes. So to me, that's really important. We talk about the attributes of something, we're praising it. I was buying my friend a laptop, and he messaged me. He said, "Nipe sifazake." And it means, you know, tell me about the specs. That was what he wanted. He wanted to know how much RAM was there in the laptop, how much hard drive, whatever. But it also means praise it. And I thought that was very interesting. And it was a very, very good reminder for me of how it is that all of creation is designed for us to be able to demonstrate what's worth our time and attention. John Piper, in one of his writings, says that money, sex, and power, indicating everything, exists to show that God is worth more than money, sex, and power. So if our Christian walk is leading us to see Christ or the Christian walk or church or anything else as a way to getting these things, then we've missed the boat. We have utterly and completely missed the point of Jesus' teaching. Because the point is that He is worth more than anything that He created. And clearly that's true. If He's the creator and the sustainer of all life, then what could possibly compare to Him, an actual relationship with Him? But if we're using everything at our disposal, all the privilege that we have, the power, every bit of might or money, every bit of allure or emotion, everything that we have, and if we're using that to bring God glory, to say, God, You are more to be worshipped than anything that You've created, then you, my friend, have hit on that what the Bible calls the pearl of great price. We've hit on that treasure that's worth selling everything else for and going after it and buying that one thing. God, the creator, is worth more than anything created. And if we come to understand him as he is, then our heads begin to grasp how, you know, how absolutely incredible this fact is, and our hearts begin to react to that because it's natural. That's how we work as humans. Then what happens is we're going to start acting that way as well. And Pastor Chris is not going to have to preach 100 sermons telling you to go out and be useful in the kingdom of God. Because he's not going to be able to stop you. You guys are going to be going and doing that. Many of you already are. So we're going to be saying, Pastor Chris, God is so worthwhile that I am leaving Waterloo to go to the mission field. Or you're going to be saying, Pastor Chris, look, this outreach program we're involved in, I am getting involved in that because this is so valuable. This is so incredible. And we're not going to have time for a lot of the other stuff that just that often distracts us because we're going to actually take that theological vitality, that spiritual vitality, and it gets to work in missional vitality. There's nothing wrong with the tools of worship. The creation is not the problem. It has nothing to do with whether we're rich or whether we're poor. It has nothing to do with whether we're pretty or ugly. It has nothing to do with whether we're powerful or absolutely powerless. The presence and the existence of those things as tools in creation is the question we're looking at right now. They all exist, and where is our heart aligned? Some Christians have the idea that money is the root of all evil. But the Bible doesn't say that. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And then money is a convenient one to pick on, but we could have picked on anything in creation, saying the love of that thing at the expense of God is the root of evil. That's where it starts, is with us getting our eyes off of him. And so missional vitality is really important because it helps us to understand whether, in fact, there is spiritual and theological vitality. Are we actually understanding God as he is? Because if it's not causing us to act in a way that's consistent with that, then we got to go back and examine our beliefs. If we're relating to God, if we're relating to God as the creator and sustainer of all life, and it doesn't drive us to action, something is wrong in that relationship. We need to go get some counseling. But so the deal is, it's nothing about our job. It's nothing about what we have. It's not about whether you're a pastor or not. It's not about whether you have a secular or a sacred job. It's not about being some holy missionary sent to foreign countries. It's not about anything that we've sliced and diced life up. It boils down to this entire life existence and our priorities. Missional vitality. What are we prioritizing in life? What are we actually legitimately doing? Because if we've got our head right, and we understand the nature of God, we get who he is, we've been taught, and our relationships are right with him and with others, then we don't have to worry about the rest. The rest of it comes naturally. It's not that it's easy. It's not that it happens all at once. It's a process, and it is hard, but it's natural, and it does happen. And as we do that, we'll absolutely be at the ready. And when we're presented with things in the world, instead of looking at them and saying, oh, look, there's a problem, it's criticizing. Instead, we'll be looking for the opportunities. We'll be looking for the solutions. We'll be looking the way Christ looked at the world, as broken people in need of a Savior, as things in need of being set right. And we'll participate with him in that. And that is the mission of God. And that is missional vitality is when we're with him. Thank you, guys. God bless you all. Hi, WPA. It's great.
I hope you're enjoying this. They had a lot more they wanted to say, but we kept them to a tight time frame to make sure we honored your tight time frame this morning. Jeremy spoke about one thing right there at the end that really caught me. He said, when we are presented with the opportunity, and he goes on and Jeremy says a lot in that one statement. And these videos will go on the website, and I would encourage you to go back and watch the end of Jeremy's video. And watch it and watch it and watch it. Because it's going to take you a couple times until you catch it all. But what he says at the end is when you're presented with an opportunity, as a Christian who is living a missionally vital life, which he says ties into a spiritually vital and a theologically vital life, he says you won't step back and criticize, but you'll step in and you'll help. And he says you'll participate. And church, that's what we're getting at. That is the heart of what we're getting at this morning. Over the last year and continuing forward, the missions committee, who works hard for you, and they pray hard for you. But one of the things that they've been working on is helping to shift your mindset, whether you know it or not. We've been shifting this church from our ideas of missions being this far off distance place in Africa and Ukraine and Cambodia and beyond. But it's here and it's local. It's there too, but it's here too. And that when opportunities are presented to us to live missionally in our day-to-day lives, that we will take that opportunity, that we won't let it pass us by. I'll share it. You may or may not know, this church loves missions. Hopefully you'll know that. But the part that you may or may not know is that this church carries a large budget for missions. In the PAOC, we are one of the top 10 giving churches across Canada. And that's only globally. That's not the local things that we participate in. Those aren't the times that I text our small group leaders or email our small group leaders and say, hey, there's a new family at Welcome Home. Can we hook them up with some gift cards and bus tickets? Can we hook them up with some new jeans for their kids because they don't have them? It doesn't include those things. Those are the times that you as a church, we've presented an opportunity and you've said, yeah, I want to meet that. Church, our budget, so outside of those things that we've mentioned, is $96,000 a year that we pour into missions because we believe in the things that these people are doing. The 9 that I highlighted earlier in the service, the 5 global and the 4 local, it goes into them. Goes into their ministries, and it goes into the people that they are serving. With each and every one of them, we've said, we'll give, but we want to do more than that. We don't want to just send dollars and let dollars do the work. We want to do the work. We want to be bodies in action. We want to rub shoulders and give hugs and pray for these people. And church, that's what you've been doing. And I'll tell you, the testimonies that come out of it and the stories that come out of it are life-changing because they are bringing people to Christ. We're changing their lives. This morning, I'm going to ask you to participate in one of two ways, or both ways. Both ways would be great. I'm going to ask you to connect with our local partners. It's what our 1,000 points of light is all about. And I'm still not going to tell you about it yet. But I'm going to, at the end of the service, ask you to act. But what I'm going to ask you to do right now is to give. And I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward. And we've hopefully prepared you enough the last 2 weeks as we've said, we're going to take a missions offering. And when we put it in the Friday email and said, we're going to take a missions offering. Church, I hope you know that we're going to take a missions offering on Mission Sunday. And here's why. Not because we love taking your money. We love giving you the opportunity to give. We love giving you the opportunity to sow into the ministries and the organizations and the people around this globe that we have been able to partner with to do something incredible. Ushers, you can come ahead forward. That $96,000 that I told you about is not budgeted funds. That doesn't come out of your day-to-day giving. That comes out of your generosity. So every week our ushers come forward and they take up our offering and they take up our tithes. But this goes beyond that. So every year as we plan out our missions budget, we have to guess, how generous will our people be this year? And this year, we've promised $96,000. And church, we're on par and we're doing well. Those of you who give to missions week after week after week, we are so grateful for that generosity. But maybe you didn't know that's where those funds came from. So we wanted to tell you this morning, we can only give to missions on your generosity. And so this morning, if you want to participate, we would love for you to participate. You could pick up one of those envelopes in the back of the pew and you can just write missions. Or you can text to give. You could pick up your cell phone. You could text money. This just blows my mind. Or you can go to the church website and you can give through Canada Helps. Or you can throw in cash. Cash is good. It's easy. Ushers, you can go ahead now. Church, I want to say thank you. On behalf of all of the organizations and on behalf of all of the ministries that these dollars go to. Church, we don't keep these dollars. All of those dollars, they go out. They don't stay in. And so thank you for enabling us to give, to be a church who gives, to be a church who believes in people and in changing lives. Really incredible things happen when we can do something collectively. Church, we're a lot of people. There's 500 so odd people in here. Collectively, we can do some really great things when we set our minds to it. So I have one last speaker for you this morning. His name is John Neufeld, and we actually have the privilege. He's here with us today, and I won't make you raise your hand. I won't embarrass you like I embarrass our own. But John, he represents an incredible ministry, an organization called House of Friendship. And one of our own, Margaret Lucas, she works for John. I will embarrass you. You're one of our own. Margaret also works for John. And together with a whole team of people, they have changed this community. And I'm not going to say they are changing. I know they're changing. But you should know that they have changed this community. That they have had an incredible impact in what this community looks like today. And so we partner with them because we believe in the excellent work that they do. So John is going to bring this sermon home this morning, and he's talking about theological vitality.
Good morning, brothers and sisters of WPA. It's good to be with you this morning. We're shooting this video here in the Charles Street Men's Shelter in Kitchener. Although the room is quiet right now, in a couple of hours, this room and this whole shelter will be full of gentlemen who are experiencing homelessness. The men's shelter is one of 20 programs that House of Friendship has the privilege of running throughout Waterloo region. We serve approximately 42,000 people in our community by providing shelter and supportive housing, food, addiction treatment, and neighborhood work. We have a presence in every low-income neighborhood throughout Waterloo region, and it's one of the very many ways we collaborate together with you in your support of Sunnydale Community Center. And we want to thank you for the many ways that WPA has supported House of Friendship through the years and the hopefully many collaborative partnerships we will moving forward. Most people know that Jesus came to bring forgiveness and grace. Less well known is the biblical teaching that a true experience of the grace of Jesus Christ motivates us to seek justice in the world. Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require of you but to walk humbly, do justice, and love mercy? To walk with God, we must do justice out of merciful love. God loves and defends those with the least amount of economical and social power. Proverbs 14:31 talks about whoever dishonors the poor insults God. If we are to be theologically vital and live in accordance with the Bible, our call to justice is inescapable. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, Micah all give examples of people who worship God, who follow religious regulations and pride themselves in their Bible knowledge, yet take advantage of the poor and how this is so offensive to God. Tim Keller, in his book, Generous Justice, makes this statement: one's heart attitude towards the poor reveals one's heart attitude towards Christ. Let me repeat that one more time. One's heart attitude towards the poor reveals one's heart attitude towards Christ. Keller goes on to say, when asked why Christians don't address injustice more often, he believes that the call to do justice sleeps down in a Christian soul until it is awakened. I want to share with you a story of how God awakened within me and opened my eyes to the injustice around us. God sent me to prison. Well, not quite like that. But while I was studying at Bible College in Winnipeg, I went to Stony Mountain Penitentiary. in Stony Mountain Penitentiary is 20 minutes outside of Winnipeg in the middle of nowhere, and it's in a very eerie setting on top of this big hill. It's very intimidating. And so I'll never forget the first time we drove up there. We drove up the hill and walked into the building, and the door behind you slams shut, and you're in between two locked doors, and you get checked, and then you go to the next two doors, and then finally you proceed beyond the third door, and then you're in this large waiting room. And so there we were, two naive little Bible college kids sitting, scared out, completely out of our mind, sitting in this waiting room full of individuals who are serving time in a medium to maximum prison. In a few minutes, Owen came, and Owen is who was matched with us for the prison visitation. And Owen sat down, shared a little bit of his story, and he told us why he was there. And then he shared with us that the reserve he was from was 800 kilometers away, and that he had no contact with his family. No one was coming to visit him, that we were only his only contact to the outside world. And with time, as our relationship grew over the months, we got to see how much we have in common rather than the perceived differences. And it was an absolute gift to build that relationship with Owen. And during one of those times when we were together with Owen, we were playing cards, God said, "Look up. What else do you see here?" And as I looked up and scanned the visitation room, I noticed that the majority of the gentlemen in that room were all of Indigenous background. And it was at that time that God broke my heart and showed me of the injustice that was present there. Why was this disproportionate amount of people from the Indigenous culture here in these prison walls? And it was that experience that God used to awaken in me the call to address injustice in the world and to do justice. So how do we go forth with this call to do justice in the world? Someone that I have found deeply inspirational and helping and helpful is Brian Stevenson of Equal Justice Initiatives. Brian is a man of deep faith and has decided to tackle the great injustice of social inequity in America. And Brian talks about to change the world and to address injustice, we have to do four things. And so I want to leave you with these four things as a challenge to you. Number one, Brian says we have to get proximate to the issue. We cannot change anything or help anything if we're from a distance. And most people in society decide to, you know, read the paper or watch the news, and that's where they're going to get their information. But they don't want to get closer to the injustice. And so Brian's calling us that we have to get closer to the issue to understand it, to see what solutions are there. Number two, Brian talks about we've got to change the narrative. There is a narrative of fear and anger in our society that we are to distrust the other. And that is not what we are called to do as people of God and faith. We are people of light, of people of hope and love, and we are to be out there. What's interesting is what happens when we get proximate to an issue. That often changes the narrative that we have built in our head. It's amazing to me the narrative that people have about the people we serve here at House of Friendship. But after volunteering or serving here, how that narrative changes so drastically after people have broken bread together, heard each other's stories, and the narrative then changes. Third, Brian talks about we've got to stay hopeful. It is so hard when we look around and we watch the news every day to not lose hope. And there's a lot of injustice in the world, and one can get overwhelmed by it all. But this is where, as a community of faith, that we've got to build each other up, inspire each other, encourage each other as we address injustice in our own community and in the world. And lastly, Brian calls us to do uncomfortable things. Christ's ministry and Christ's example is one not of comfort and complacency. There's nothing in Jesus' life that, if we look at Jesus' teaching and Jesus' actions, it's one of discomfort. It is hanging out with the folks that were always put to the margins of society. It was challenging the status quo. And so may God call each of us and awaken in each of us to do uncomfortable things and get out of our comfort zone. And so my prayer for you this morning is that you do get proximate to the issue, that you change the narrative, you stay hopeful, and you do uncomfortable things as you live out the call of Micah 6:8 to walk humbly, do justice, and love mercy. Amen.
Thank you, John. So to wrap up this service this morning, 1,000 points of light. We're calling you to participate in our community. We have a big dream of this entire church being part of their community every single day. That means engaging with your neighbors. It means loving your annoying coworkers. It means sharing the love of Christ with your doctor. It means getting into the hard places that make us uncomfortable. So a small group, a couple of small groups throughout the year, raised hundreds of dollars to go serve a meal at Ray of Hope. I've seen groups go in and make cookies with refugees. I've seen incredible things through this year, throughout the last couple of years. But our dream is bigger. It's way bigger than a couple of groups and a couple of great-hearted families. Our hope is that this entire congregation, that you would take up that mantle, that you would take up that inspiration and say, this is my community. I'm ready to rub shoulders and get involved because you know what's at stake? Their eternity and their social well-being. Church, we need to help people. It's our Christ-given mandate. So 1,000 points of light. Our hope is that through the next 4 months, you're going to hear the 1,000 Points of Light initiative a lot over the next 4 months. And what that is we are going to ask you as a congregation to get into the community and tell us about it. On our website, wpa.church, we have created a webpage where you can go and log in what you have done in our community. And you can keep it anonymous. If you want to share your name, that's great. If you want to share a picture, that's great. But if you want to be anonymous, that's okay too. Share what you've done. Our missions committee has gone and put a few of things that they've been up to, their personal points of light in their community. I went on and I talked about my neighbor, something that I've done intentionally with my neighbor. And I put it on, I logged it in and I hit enter. Right now, the screen has 6 dots on it, 6 points of light. By September, we want to see it add up. And each time you go on, there will be another dot. Now, Dan's our media guy. He's my husband. He's like, Kim, I can't make a dot every time someone submits. So once a day, the dots will be added to the website. So log in. Watch the progress. We're going to update you on that as the summer goes. We want to know how you're getting into our community. We want to know the difference that you're making. A point of light is defined by any intentional action that you make, whether that's to support someone or to pray for someone, to assist someone, to share the truth about Jesus, or to get out into a place that makes you uncomfortable, and to do something different because you know it'll make an impact on someone's life. 1,000 points of light. It's not a small task. We were going to go with 100 points of light with PAOC's thing, and we said, it's too easy. We don't want to drive this community here, WPA. We don't just want to drive you in auto drive. We want to inspire you to try harder and to do more and to stretch yourself. So this morning, to make that easy, we have asked our 4 local partners to join us. And if you're in here, I will embarrass you. Would you stand for a moment if you're from House of Friendship or Ray of Hope or Welcome Home or the Pregnancy Center? There's Pregnancy Center, House of Friendship, Welcome Home, and Ray of Hope in the back. Thank you. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for taking the time to be with us this morning. But church, here is your last task of the morning. First, I asked you to participate by giving of your dollars. And now I'm going to ask you to participate by giving of your time. Each of these 4 organizations that just stood, they have a table in the foyer. And they have information about how you can get involved. We are making it so easy for you. You don't even have to Google it. You could just walk straight into the foyer. So would you go have a conversation? If you don't know what they do, ask them. They've got tons of pamphlets. If you want more information, they've got a sign-up sheet. And if you're ready to get involved, you know what, you say, you know, I love the Pregnancy Center. For years I've wanted to get involved, and I've never taken the time because I just didn't know how to go about it. They have a sign-up sheet. They all have a sign-up sheet. It is so easy today. But get involved. We're going to continue to ask you all summer. Get involved. Summer, you've got time. And then after that, we're going to continue asking you to get involved.